Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you watch videos, Sports Radio 810 WHB's social media channels, Sporting Kansas City social media channels, the Facebook pages, everything. You can watch the show now. You can listen to the show, whatever you do. We appreciate you joining us as we continue life on Zoom in our virtual homes here. Basically, I guess they're our real homes, not virtual, are they? We had a background for Carter before we started. I thought we were actually going to get to see that during the show, but no, not the case. He's just going straight up apartment. I'm rocking my Celtic jersey that I got like back in 2009, I think this one was. And it's a Aiden McGeady jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Very nice.
How are we feeling about that customization in hindsight?
Well, this was the final jersey that put me over the top of never buying a jersey with someone's name on it again, because I was just on a terrible run. Like, whatever team I cheered for, whatever favorite player I had, as soon as I got the jersey, the player would either get injured, traded, sold off to another team, or just go in the tank completely. And I thought Aiden McGeady, like, his name's McGeady and he plays for Celtic. He's dreamed of playing for Celtic his whole life. He's really good. He's not going anywhere for a while. I mean, I got that jersey and he was playing in Russia like within 3 months. So I was like, that's it. I'm done.
Oh no.
What are you like rocking today, Carter?
Yeah, sadly I didn't have a link to Johnny Russell, who's going to join us on the show, and not even a tenuous one like my weird Bundesliga link to Kyrie Shelton last week. So I've got just a random Werder Bremen jersey on. It's one I liked a lot. Guy by the name of Diego, number 10 for Bremen, and one of the 15,000 Diegos that came out of Brazil, I think, during the early 2000s. Flashy.
See, that though is a good name to get on the back of the jersey, because it's kind of like all encompassing. Yeah. I mean, outside of the number, you get a little duct tape, you fix up, you turn the zero into an eight, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
So that's so maybe many. You just get more of a universal last name. Yeah. Not McGee.
Right, yeah. It's not very specific, you know. Diego, which one?
From
the early 2000s.
But. All of them.
And then you pick the most relevant one, or the one with the most decorated career, and you're set.
Smart move. Pro tip from Ali Trost. So, yeah, let me go ahead and lay it out on the show for you today. The reason I'm wearing the Celtic jersey, Johnny Russell, who's never played for Celtic, but that's he's makes no bones about the fact that he's a born and raised Celtic FC fan growing up in Glasgow. He's going to join us on the show in the next segment, partially because he's also going to join us on our enhanced broadcast of the Sporting KC versus Montreal game that we're going to do on Saturday. This is becoming really fun. We've already done three of these so far. We're doing one again on Saturday night. And I've really enjoyed every one that we've done so far. This time it's going to be Johnny Russell, Jean-Luc Abusio, and Elie. That should be a really fun cast of characters to go back and watch that game with and relive that game with them. Last time we did one of those this past weekend, we had Jalen Lindsay, Graham Smith, and Kyrie Shelton. And we ended up having a game where I pulled out ancient artifacts like this for Jalen Lindsay to see if he could name what these items were, like CDs and cassette tapes. And he kind of recognized a couple of them but didn't know what they were. So it's kind of nice to remind myself of exactly how old I am when we do these shows sometimes. But that's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll talk with Johnny about that and other things, maybe get some tips about just the country of Scotland and things to do if anybody's ever going to go there. So that's coming up on the show. Also, we're going to hear from Nikki Romolo. We're going to play a little clip of an interview I did with her. She is the vice president of hospitality for Sporting Kansas City, and they have a big initiative out right now called the Sporting Kansas City Community Kitchen. And look, there is a massive need in our community and others through this COVID-19 pandemic crisis for food. A lot of people who are without work, who are struggling to put food on the table, are relying on community assistance right now for that. And I could tell you for a fact that there is a shortage right now, and there are people that are trying to find meals wherever they can. And a lot of the food pantries and food kitchens in town are running really low on supplies. They can't feed all the people that need it. So Sporting Kansas City is stepping up in a partnership with a couple of different organizations to basically make 1,000 meals a day, 5 days a week. And Carter, I know a lot of people at Sporting Kansas City, the employees are stepping up to volunteer and pass the food. We're going to talk with Nikki about that, but what a cool initiative this is right now.
Yeah, I'm happy that Nikki and her crew have kind of set this up. And like you said, a lot of employees are chipping in to help out as well. It's been cool to see everyone signing up to volunteer and hopefully give back a little bit to the community. And like you said, yeah, this is affecting people in so many ways. And it's crazy to think about all the trickle down effects of, you know, not going to restaurants as much. So waitresses and waiters aren't making as much. And that is in pretty much every aspect of our economy. I've seen a lot of really bad predictions about the 2020 economy as well. So good to see. And like you said, a lot of people in some need right now. And I'm happy that Nikki and her team have stepped up and really looking forward to talking to her.
Yeah, so we'll hear from Nikki in a little bit. It's City Foods and Operation Barbecue are teaming up with Sporting Kansas City, and they're trying to do basically 250 family meals a day. So that's 1,000 meals, family of four type meals. You've got to pre-register, though, in order to get these meals. Because, like we said, there's a limited number even for that. There's going to be more people than we can serve even by giving out 1,000 meals a day. If you think about that for a second, that's where we're at right now. So go to sportingkc.com/communitykitchen, and you can register there, and you can also find out how you can volunteer if you'd like to help on that front. So we'll talk with Nikki coming up. We'll talk with Johnny Russell. A couple of other things, guys, I want to get to on this first segment of the show when it comes to the news and notes, letting everybody know where we are on certain situations. MLS came out with a statement this week kind of updating where they are on trying to get this season back on track. Obviously, right now with shelter-in-place orders basically going out all across the country, conversation of those shelter-in-place orders being extended another up to 3 weeks in some cases, we're kind of waiting to see, okay, the target date kind of keeps moving back. Don Garber has gone out and made a couple of public appearances where he's spoken about some things, but I'm going to read to you guys the official statement from Major League Soccer on this, and then we could discuss that for a second. Major League Soccer continues to regularly evaluate the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, including how it will affect our plans for the 2020 season. Although we hope to return to play in mid-May, that is extremely unlikely based on the guidance of federal and local public health authorities. Our goal remains to play as many games as possible, and while we currently have enough dates to play the entire season, recognize at this time that it may become difficult to do so. We continue to learn more every day from the medical experts, and we expect to have additional details in the coming weeks regarding when we can return to play. As we have throughout this process, we will update our fans with every decision, and we thank them for their support and understanding during this extremely challenging time. Look, guys, I find it very difficult to even sit here and try to speculate on where this thing's going to head. Is it likely that the season, you know, is a full season for MLS? What does that look like? Because we just simply don't know how this thing's going to play out. Even, I'm not suggesting we shouldn't listen to the scientists and the doctors right now. I'm firmly in the camp of let's listen to the experts on this and let's do what they instruct us to do to try to help limit the scope of this you know, catastrophe as much as possible. I'm just suggesting that they're even saying, look, this is new territory for all of us. This is a living, breathing thing. We are living, breathing people as well, that our decisions will affect the way this thing, collectively our decisions, the way this thing heads, but it's also new territory. So we're kind of feeling this thing out. So I don't really want to get into any of that speculation about, will there be a season? When's the season going to start? Will it be in empty stadiums? I will address what we did hear from Don Garber, because he's the commissioner of the league, and he has at least said with Taylor Twellman this week, he's thrown out the idea that there is some flexibility for Major League Soccer in terms of how they want to try to handle whenever we get back to play. And I think it's smart. You've got to be kicking around all of the different possible ideas and scenarios and creative ways you can think of to have some sort of competition this year. And he threw out the possibility of a tournament that could be played maybe in a local site, or if there are certain parts of the country where it's allowed that you can get back in and play these competitions in empty arenas. And then he also talked about what he called studio games, basically, which would be games played in front of empty arenas, or in scenarios where there's no fans in attendance, but we can broadcast these games studio style and possibly do some crazy things with broadcasts if that goes forward. Look, guys, I don't know. I guess I'll just ask for your reactions on this. I'll start with you, Carter. We just don't really know where this thing is headed, but when we have those official comments from Don Garber, it's pretty clear that MLS is now looking at least at as many different scenarios as possible. The one good thing they have is that the season was so young when this thing started that, unlike maybe the NBA, for example, that was coming down the home stretch of their season, perhaps MLS has an opportunity and some flexibility to try to do some things that could still equal out to a great competition at some point this year.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's interesting to hear all the stuff that Don Garber's been kicking around in the media, and like you said, it kind of demonstrates that they are exploring a lot of different options to try and play games this season. And yeah, you mentioned NBA. I think obviously it'll be in a little different comparison to all the European soccer leagues as well, who are nearing the end of their seasons, so Champions League, everything to that like. So. Like I said, it's fascinating to hear what Garber said. I would have to imagine, we've talked about on this podcast before, that playing in front of empty stadiums for MLS hurts a little bit more than it does for a lot of those other sports, because of the nature of the TV deals for leagues like the NBA. So yeah, I don't know about you, Ali. I'm really curious. There's a lot of stuff being flown out there, and you know, this was the first our second year that the season got moved up a little bit as well. And so maybe they'll resort to going back to the old schedule for a year. There's a lot up in the air.
Yeah, it's interesting because, well, first off, I think, you know, a lot of these leagues and organizations and commissioners have received a lot of criticism for throwing around ideas without a vaccine being in place. However, I think it's very important to start throwing around these ideas and plan for, you know, prepare for the best, expect the worst, or however you want to look at it. But, you know, some of those options I think would be great solutions. Carter, you bring up the fact that the playoff model shifted to a more condensed season last season, and they could go back realistically, but I think that would be dependent on the season being able to start in mid-May, because then the more and more it gets pushed back, then you're looking at more midweek games, and you're looking at an even, you know, more extended season past possibly even December, maybe even going into January. But at the end of the day, Nate, to your point, Major League Soccer is in a great position. They were in the infancy of their 2020 season. I think they have a lot more flexibility, whereas the NBA was, like you said, again, right down the stretch, we're getting gearing up for the postseason. So I think it's just going to be really interesting to see. And again, it's an unprecedented situation for everybody. And I think that, you know, from a broadcast perspective, as well as just from an execution perspective, it's going to be really interesting to see how these different leagues end up having a season. And I think they're also going to look at what the others are doing. The NFL draft is a huge event coming up that a lot of people are looking to, like, okay, this might set the standard now for other drafts and for other televised sports related events. So again, a lot of unknown, but I think it was the right decision for Commissioner Don Garber to come out and say what he said, and then, you know, they're doing what everyone else is doing, just trying to keep public interest at the top of mind. So again, we just don't know.
It's really interesting to see, because every league is in such a different position, and you have competition. Like, I was really looking forward to the Copa del Rey final, Athletic Bilbao versus Real Sociedad, the two Basque clubs. Neither has won a Copa del Rey in years and years and years. It's the first time they'll ever play in a final, over 100 years, in such a huge rivalry. Of course, that's been postponed. That's just one game. You figure they can play that final when this thing gets back
right,
going, whether it's June, July, August. But the Euros have already been postponed a year. The Olympics have been postponed a year. Liverpool trying to win their first title in 30 years. What's going to happen there? Each league is in such different positions across all sports. It's going to be, I'm really interested.
And I'm also interested to see the scheduling problem that might occur when things do finally get the clear to come back and operate as, you know, as usual. So, you know, whether that's from a talent perspective, not having enough talent to available for all of the games that need to be called, or whether that's, you know, from just a stadium or, you know, arena usage, it's just going to be very interesting to see how this all shakes out. But when sports do resume, we know that everyone's going to be eagerly awaiting them. So
yeah, and I'm squarely in the camp, and maybe, you know, it's what I do for a living, so maybe this colors my thoughts on it a little bit. But look, I don't know what the responsible thing is for getting sports back online. You talked about the criticism that some people have had of the sports organizations for trying to throw these ideas out there. Unless somebody actually goes out and puts some sporting events on in an irresponsible way, I will understand some criticism at that point. If we start having sporting events and it's not safe and it's not the right thing, and the public health care officials are saying, hey, you can't be doing this, and they do it anyway, okay, that's fair game for criticism. As for throwing out some plans and throwing out some ideas, I don't see the issue with that right now, because it's what humans do. They try to come up with creative solutions to vexing problems. And as a sports fan myself, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I miss it so much. Yeah. And look, I'm binge watching things. There are some positive things in terms of, look, and I'm about to get to what we're going to do on Thursday on sportingkc.com. I went back and watched the 96 season opener for the first time in my life. I don't think I've ever watched it. And as the play-by-play announcer for Sporting KC, I'm a little ashamed to admit that. But I'll be honest, you know, my history, my knowledge, I'm just being perfectly honest with you here. My knowledge of Sporting Kansas City in those early years as the Wizards is pretty limited, because at the time I was in college, I was at least for me in college, I was pretty self-absorbed and focused on school and having fun with my friends. I went to a couple games a year, and that was kind of all it was. And once I became the announcer for Sporting Kansas City, all of my time is spent on the present tense. It's on getting ready for the next game. It's on focusing on the team here and the team that Sporting's about to play. This has given me the opportunity to go back and really kind of dive in. And you really learn when you watch the games all the way through about things and players and storylines. And then we've had a chance, Carter and I, to do some of these interviews with some of the former players. So there's some real positives, like a time to just stop and go back and watch that stuff that maybe I should have always been doing in the first place. But darn it, do I miss some live action. You know, it is cool to go back and watch old games. But the beauty of sport is that we don't know what's going to happen. And nobody knows what's going to happen. Like, you watch a movie, you might not know how it's going to play out. And they might mess with you a little bit here and there on the plot twists and all that. But somebody somewhere planned all that out and made it happen for you. This is live sports that we're missing out on. And I personally believe that whenever the healing process starts for what we're going through, sports are going to play a huge role in it. And I don't think it's about these organizations having a lack of appreciation for what we're going through. Everybody's going through this. This is the first thing in my life that I, at least unless I'm missing something, that is hitting in the home of every person you know. This isn't something that we're watching on the news that's hitting people in another part of the country or something like that. Across the world, everyone's being affected by this. So sports organizations too, they get it. They understand what's happening. And all of us just kind of want to get back to doing what we're doing. We understand we have to wait. We have to be responsible and all that. And I'm sorry for the long rant, guys, but I just think I applaud every sports organization out there for trying to see what they can do responsibly to see when they can get back involved and being a part of the lives that we all want to get back to.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, it reminds me of something that we talked about with Kyrie last week that I thought was really interesting, because a huge point of contention in all of this is, well, if you can't play with fans, then what's the point? There is a huge advantage to that home field, home stadium, where you've got your fans on your side, and players back on both sides of the argument have said, oh, I can't imagine playing without fans. And others have said, whatever, like, it's fine. And some sports that definitely plays more of a role than others. But I thought it was interesting what Kyrie said. And Nate, it goes to your point of, sports is going to be a huge part when, you know, things do start resuming back to normal, of kind of leading that charge and helping serve as that healing power to a lot of people. And Kyrie mentioned that he knows that people will be watching. Even if fans can't be in the stands, they know that people will be watching, and it'll be a different experience. But because it'll have been such a long time without sports, or longer than we've ever experienced in our recent history, that the players will have that understanding, even if they don't have the fans with them inside the stadium at the game, they still know that people, their eyes are there and the support is there.
So I actually have this picture in my mind, if it comes to this, of Sporting Kansas City players winning a game at Children's Mercy Park in an empty stadium, and the players going over and serenading an empty cauldron. And it almost like it brings tears to my eyes. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I mean, we'll see if they're able to play games in empty stadiums and all that.
With one laptop, with everyone like zooming in to the stadium.
Yeah. But you know, like, but some of us,
it's emotional.
Like those of us that celebrated Easter, you know, or if you celebrated Passover or whatever, you know, some of us watch church services online in empty churches. And
yeah,
there's something, it's sad, it's heartbreaking, but there's also something powerful about this knowledge that, you know what, I'm not alone here. That all the other people that I usually see at the church I go to are with me right now on their computers. A lot of people over these holidays getting on Zoom and talking to their family members and those things. And you know, Carter, you talk about that, like with MLS. MLS's bread and butter is much more the in-stadium, you know, the ticket sales and that, more than it is the television ratings and revenues. Maybe this will be an opportunity to really increase the level of viewership for MLS if it comes back to that. But in terms of, you know, because people are going to be wanting to watch, people are going to be tuning in. And I don't know, I guess I'm trying to tell myself some positive things and paint some, but I think in order to get through situations like this, you have to paint the picture of some positive things that you think are going to happen or that you hope are going to happen sometime down the road.
Yeah, and that's why, as you've been talking about it, it's good to see some of the ideas that leagues are floating out. Still a lot of ifs and buts. Yep. And it's a big if, but if the games are played in front of empty stadiums, that is a huge opportunity for MLS and broadcast teams to raise the exposure and hopefully get a lot more people watching. And as Ali mentioned, the NFL draft is going to be the leader, I think, for this. And I got to imagine they're going to be doing Super Bowl numbers with like the third round going to be drawing 100 million people. You know what I mean? It's going to be fantastic.
And yeah. In the fifth round of the, like,
And by the way, whenever stuff like this comes on now, the crier of the show here, but like the over under on how many commercials make me cry, you know, it's like a commercial for some, yeah, you know, corporate entity that really, it has nothing to do with the local community, but they still like, they get me, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're all going to be back. And you know, we miss you. And I'm like, I miss you too.
It was like, thank you, Burger King. Like, yeah. I don't know. Why am I crying
about me
on my screen right now? I don't know.
So to that end, guys, and it is, you know, one of the things that is inspiring to me is the creativity that we see from this, you know, people coming up with problem solving situations. And that leads me to the last thing I want to talk about in this segment before we take a break and bring Johnny on, which is the next upcoming Sporting KC rebroadcast that we're going to do, which will be Thursday night. So first of all, we talked about it leading up to it. Last Thursday, they rebroadcast on SportingKC.com the first ever Wiz game in 1996 against the Rapids, and did it in pop-up video style. And all kinds of different interviews that you and I conducted, Carter, with different players and coaches, and Matt Beisler, who was in attendance as a kid there, ton of facts and figures. It was really cool. And then of course the enhanced broadcast we've done with the players on Saturday nights as well. We're going to do another one of those this coming weekend. You're seeing people come up with a lot of creative things across the board. And if we get to those broadcasts at some point, I know you and I probably are thinking already, like the wheels are turning. What are some of the things we could do to try to make broadcasts really special and different? That maybe we've never done before, if we get a chance to do that. I don't know if it's going to happen, but my mind is kind of running with ideas like that right now.
Yeah, I think that speaks to you trying to when you're trying to look at some positives maybe, and you were talking about going back and watching old games that you haven't been able to see. And I think that can be extrapolated over pretty much everyone trying to figure out things to do with their time. And I'm really looking forward to what more creative people come up with, not only in sports, not only in broadcast, but in all aspects of our life during this time that we've had to reflect and really think to ourselves. And, you know, I did a deep clean of my house, you know, or my place, and that's something that hasn't been done in a couple of years and needed to be done, but maybe there'll be some, more substantial stuff to come out of than me just cleaning my place. But that's just an example of getting around to stuff that you've been putting off for a long time.
Does that mean that we'll at long last maybe get invited to the El Jefe Manor? You know, like once this gets cleared, you'll let us come over to your place sometime and hang out?
A lot of ifs and buts. We'll have to see.
Don't want to commit to anything. We don't know where this thing is headed, right?
Yeah.
We'll tape this podcast at Carter's apartment. It's so clean now. We'll just sit on the floor.
Eat off the floor.
We'll eat off the floor.
There you go. So coming up on Thursday, 7 o'clock will be the next throwback broadcast we do on SportingKC.com. The epic 10-goal match between the Wizards and Columbus Crew from 1996. A 6-4 win for the Wiz at the time. The Wizards, Wiz at the time, I guess 96 would have been Wiz, with Preki scoring 2 goals, Mo Johnston with a brace of his own, and they were down 4-2 at one point, scored 4 goals, come back and win. So that's going to be a really fun one to watch. That is Thursday at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, again, we're going to replay the 7-1 win by Sporting KC from just last year at the beginning of the season when everything was started off with so much hope and promise. It was a great game, great atmosphere at Children's Mercy Park. And Johnny Russell, Gianluca Busio, and Elie are going to join me for that one as well. So there you go. You got some content, Sporting KC fans, to take in and enjoy over this upcoming week. We're going to take
crew, a break. Just quickly, sorry, Nate, that Crew game going to be interesting. I think it was Mike Sorber's debut, so we didn't get to see him in that opening inaugural match for the Wiz, but we get to see him in this one, and a young Brian McBride for the Columbus Crew, so definitely worth a watch.
I went to many Brian McBride soccer camps in St. Louis,
Toronto. Yeah, St. Louis hero, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of the many, but yeah, every summer for at least a couple of years, went to that camp and then went to others that were put on by some of the Steamers legends, Eric Delabar, Jeff Cacciatore, Dan O'Keefe, to name a few. My own, you know, favorite Altros. But that was my favorite part about watching back some of these like inaugural MLS matches, is seeing some familiar names and faces. Maybe familiar faces because they look a lot different a couple decades later, but you know, familiar names nonetheless.
Okay, we'll take a break. We come back. Johnny Russell is going to join us here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And, of course, on multiple platforms now as we have gone 2D, we've gone audio and visual for you on the SKC Show, as you can get us on all the places you get your podcasts. And, of course, now you can watch it on the YouTube channel. You can watch it on Sporting Kansas City and Sports Radio 810 WHB's Facebook page and all those things. So we appreciate you watching or listening, however you get the show. We're joined now by, let's be honest, one of our favorite guys to talk to. Although I will say that his backdrop is looking a little bland today.
Bland as. We actually got sent something today. If you're doing like video calls or whatever, then don't sit with light behind you. So this is like the only part where there's like no light behind me. So I have to sit here.
It looks like a perfect green screen, though, if you wanted to do one of those virtual backgrounds that they do on, you know, some people do when they're having a meeting.
I'm sitting at the dining table, so we should actually get something there.
Yeah. I want to
spend a lot of time here.
Paradise. I want to see Celtic Park in the background, you know, something
get
like that.
Get someone to paint it on there for this.
Yeah. You can do it virtually on your iPad, you know, just pop it up there if you get a picture of it.
Yeah.
It's behind.
True.
By the way, Johnny Russell is, I didn't give the name. Johnny Russell's our guest. And we're all doing the home quarantine thing still. So we're still doing this on Zoom chats. How are you holding up, by the way? What's life like in the Russell household these days?
We can't really complain. Obviously, you want to be training, you want to be playing games. But I mean, I'm getting to spend time with my family that I wouldn't normally get. I missed a lot of pre-season. I had to come straight to pre-season when my son was born. You know, I missed 5 or 6 weeks. You know, I'm just been born, so I'm making up for lost time. And no, I'm enjoying it. Everyone's healthy, and you can't really complain.
What are some of the Russell family's favorite quarantine activities? Is there any games that you guys have been playing, shows you've been watching? What are you guys all up to?
Well, Paddington Bear's on right now. Blake wants to watch that.
Just the movie.
I've watched Frozen 2. Oh no, it's just the series. So I haven't watched the movie yet. We've watched Frozen 2. Must have watched that about 20 times already. It's quite good though, I don't mind that.
I'm with you, watching, I love it.
Yeah, been watching Outlander when the kids go to bed, been watching that. And that's pretty much it, trying to go out for walks around the neighbourhood. We've got a couple of games there. And my daughter's actually, all imagination's actually running wild at the minute, so she's doing a lot of playing on her own and trying to involve you in activities, so that's been fun. A bit of face painting. She's been painting her nails. She hasn't quite got to asking me yet, so I've dodged that one. But I can see that one coming soon.
How's she taking to being an older sister?
What was it, sorry?
How's she taking to being a big sister?
She loves it. She's been great as well. She's quite upset today, actually, because Julie's had to go for his first set of vaccinations, so she wasn't too happy about that, but she's been great. I think she loves it.
Okay, so she's what, 3, 4 years old now?
She turned 3 at the end of March.
Okay, who does she take more after? We've heard a lot of crazy Johnny Russell stories from the locker room, kind of the wild child of the team. I don't know much about your wife, but who has she taken more after at this point?
I think me.
Can you tell yet?
I think it's me.
Uh-oh.
We're quite similar in personality, so we clash a little bit. But no, she's great. Obviously, it's difficult for her. She'd be at daycare. She'd be with her friends as well. So she's asking to see family. She obviously just doesn't quite understand what's going on. So it's a bit difficult for her. But there's no dull moments anyway. So it's good to have her about.
So I will just tell you the Paddington Bear movie, my kids really enjoyed. And now this is not going to say much because I'm the crier of the family, but I actually legit cried at Paddington 2 at the end of it. It's really touching. It's a surprisingly touching movie. So if you're looking for something and your kids are into the Paddington thing, Loki, yeah. Paddington 2 is a really, really good movie. So surprising.
I need to get out of that because she's out of nowhere, really. She started watching it and was enjoying it, so the movie will probably be the next one we watch.
Carter, you and I, we got to put that on our to watch list.
Yeah,
chalk it down. Yeah,
yeah. It's the type of thing that you don't find yourself watching a movie like that until you have a 6-year-old girl living in your house, and you know your genre for movies kind of expands at that point, doesn't it, Johnny?
It does. Can't remember the last movie I watched myself.
Yeah.
Carter, how's training going? We talked to Kyrie about it after we had talked to Joey a couple weeks ago. He's trying to wrangle you guys into some group Zoom training sessions and stuff like that. How's that part of this isolation going for you?
Sorry, we actually had one this morning. So we're doing 2 or 3 a week as a group, and then we've got a set workout every day that we do, so either a bike or a run, and then some core exercises to keep yourself strong. And I've got the chance to use some gym equipment if you've got it in your house. They tried to get as much as they could out, so they've gave us all set programs to stick to. I mean, it's it's just like the off season, really. It's difficult doing it on your own, but when you have to do it. It's kind of like an off season at the minute. We had such a good off season; everyone came back fit. Then we had the tough pre season; everyone was in great shape, and then you know this has happened, so it's kind of like a step back. But no, I've been speaking to Joey. I've been speaking to the boys, and everyone's been doing it. Like I said, it's difficult not doing it with the rest of the guys, but just something that we need to do at the minute.
It's been about a month now since you guys have started training in this way. What's been the funniest moment on these group training sessions? Everyone's trying to do this on Zoom. Has anything that's been really funny happened so far that you can think of?
No, this has been pretty uneventful, pretty professional, which is pretty boring, to be honest. But no, everyone's been just coming in, doing their own thing. I think Roger was a bit hungover today, actually, so that's... could smell him through it. But he's no, it's been good to, obviously when you have those chats you can speak to the guys, but it's not the same. You just get the workout done and then that's it, over. So we've got our group chats and stuff that we have a little talk and send some stuff and that, but it's not really the same.
So we figured we'd take some of this time to try to dive a little deeper with some of our guests and get to know them, maybe try to ask some questions that they haven't been asked before. So that actually leads me to the first thing that I wanted to talk to you about, Johnny. And look, since you've been with us, I've asked you a lot. I mean, I'm wearing my Celtic jersey for you today. We talked a lot about your background in that regard. So maybe we'll get into some of that. But one thing I don't think I've asked you too much about since you mentioned the alcohol consumption idea, it's through the roof, apparently, across the world right now. People are finding ways to cope, and maybe, you know, tipping back on the bottle a little bit has been one of the ways. So Scotland, obviously, is known for Scotch whiskey. We know that Jay Rieger and Company is the official whiskey of Sporting Kansas City now. So my question for you is, do you enjoy a whiskey? Are you snobbish about Scotch whiskey? Like, is it Scotch and nothing else? Like, where do you stand on those things?
I actually just got one of those bottles delivered, the Sporting whiskey, a couple of days ago. I haven't actually opened it yet, but I'll need to try that. I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm not a massive Scotch drinker. The last few years, I've got into it a lot more. One of my friends is quite big into whiskey. So sort of came through, just been back home and having a couple of drinks with him. I wouldn't say I was snobbish, but I really like Macallan. So that's a bit of a higher end whiskey. I do enjoy one of them. It's not something I would sit and drink on my own, but if I was with a couple of my mates and they were drinking it, then it's definitely something that I would sit and have a sip of.
So when I went over there, I went to a tiny little place called Glengoyne, which was like right in the middle of Scotland. And that's like my favorite Scotch in the world now. I think a lot of it's just experience based, because I toured the place and discovered it there. But it's hard to get. Like, it's a tiny little place. It doesn't ship to places like Kansas City. Are there a lot of little distilleries like that around Scotland? And is there anyone, maybe, like, if we have a Scotch drinker that's watching the show, is there one that maybe they've never heard of or anything like that that you would tell people to go discover?
Not off the top of my head that I would say and go and discover, but just like you're saying, there's so many little places like that, especially higher north, that they've got their own little distilleries, their own little bars, and they'd have their own. My mate would be the best to ask on that. He loves it, but. No, there's, I mean, anywhere you go, sort of up north, they've got those little old-fashioned, like, sort of tavern bars with the open fire and stuff like that. So I think, when I go back this year, me and my friends from school, we always have, like, a Christmas night out. So we're talking about going up north for it this year instead of, we usually go to, like, Edinburgh, something like that, but we can do that anytime. So we're actually talking about maybe going up and spending a night or two up in the north of Scotland, just us. So looking forward to that. So I'll report back on a few whiskeys after that.
So are you talking up north, like Glencoe, Fort William? Yeah. Am I close there?
Yeah, so Glencoe, I always go with my family. So that's, we're talking of either there or one of my mates' family has got a place in a place called Kenmore, which isn't quite as far up north, but same beautiful scenery. So there or Loch Lomond as well is, I think, the three options that we're thinking about.
So it sounds like you guys planned this trip pretty far in advance. Yeah. In addition to getting together with your friends over the holidays and during the off season, what are some of your favorite things to do when you're back home?
Pretty much that. Obviously, I don't get to see them all year. It was the same when I played in England as well. They would come down. Obviously, it was easier for them to come down. But since I've been over here, I've only seen them throughout the season once, when we went to play New York City last year. We had, I think it was a Friday night game, and we were off until the Tuesday. So six of my high school friends flew out and spent 3 days in New York. So that was
that was
pretty crazy, to be honest. But no, it's not really been planned. It was just an idea that was thrown out that instead of doing Edinburgh this year like we always do, maybe try something different and just rent a wee place or rent a little cottage or something like that and just spend the time away ourselves. But no, just go and see them, go and see my family, go and spend time with them. Maybe play, the weather isn't great, but try and get out and play a bit of golf as well. Back home, terrible at it, but it's a good sport. I enjoy it.
This travel talk's got me curious. You've been around the block a few times. What is a place that you'd recommend for people to travel to, and where would you want to go if you could go anywhere in the world? You know, budget not a limit or anything like that.
So when I played in Scotland and England, my off season, I would always come to the States, but I would always stay east. I went to Vegas twice in the 1 year. I'd never been, and then I went twice in the 1 year, so still recovering from that. I always stayed east, went New York, Miami, Orlando. So I always love it there. We go to Arizona pre-season. That's somewhere that you would never quite think of going, but really enjoy it there as well. But then just, if you're going to Scotland, then obviously taking Glasgow, Edinburgh, like the two major cities, and then definitely if you've got the time, go north and spend a bit of time up there. It's just a completely different country up there. You get away from the city and stuff like that and just take in the scenery up there.
Okay, I want to loop back to this golf thing real quick. The Masters replay was on Sunday. First of all, how would you assess your golfing ability and compared to the rest of the sporting team? Who's the best golfer, worst golfer? Where do you fall on that scale?
We haven't, you know, it's something I haven't played with any of the guys here. I've only played when family have come out. I've played with them. So I'm not quite sure how to compare. It's the most frustrating sport in the world. You go from hitting a great shot to your next one being absolutely terrible and you've just wasted the shot. So it's an infuriating sport, but it's one that I still stick away and play. Obviously I don't get to play as much as I would like, don't really have the time here, but it's not something that I always enjoy doing.
What do you shoot?
I don't actually have a handicap.
You don't keep score?
No, I keep score when I'm playing, but I haven't played, probably not played in about a year now. To be honest, I've got an official handicap, so it's just annoying. I play off whatever the guy I'm playing against gives me, so a bit of a shock that way.
So when my wife and my sister and I both, when I took them over to Scotland, we went up to St. Andrews to see the old course because of your Kansas City and Tom Watson is, you know, like one of the greatest athletes in American history. And I found out when I was over there that he's like a household name.
Yes, we love him. Yeah.
Because he won the Open there, right? A bunch of times. So you were familiar with him when you when you, like, before you moved to Kansas City, you knew about Tom Watson?
Yeah, everyone knows. I grew up watching golf. My dad was a golfer. He played off scratch. Probably should have went professional, just never got around to it, never done it. So I always grew up around golf, but we trained when I played for Dundee United in Scotland. We trained in St Andrews, that was our base.
Yeah.
So literally a 2 minute drive from the old course. So, and we were constantly around it. We used to do a lot of our pre-season stuff on the beach, just at the other side of it.
Yeah.
Done a lot of the sand dunes, done a lot of runs on them, and then into the freezing cold water after it. So it was some good memories, some not good memories up there. But that's one place that I haven't played that I'm desperate to play. A lot of the guys that I've been away with Scotland, they've played it. So we've got like a contact there to play it. It's just, I'd love to get around to playing that one day.
So guys, I don't know if you know this, Allie and Carter, but I believe it's on Sundays, but one day a week, I believe, St. Andrews just is a public park, and you can just walk out there, and we saw people out there walking their dogs. That was when I'm not a big golfer. I just appreciate the history of it, so I wanted to see it. And so we went the day that it was just a park, and you're allowed to walk up and down the course, right? Is that all the golf courses in Scotland? Is that a special thing for St. Andrews?
No, not all the golf courses. A lot of private courses. But St. Andrews is, you can walk it. There's a path around it. You can walk the path. People kind of stay away from the fairway, the greens and stuff like that. But it's a place that you can walk. And if you do get the chance to go, it is a beautiful place to walk, especially walking up there. You walk up the 18th, walking back into, you know, the town.
Mm-hmm.
It's some beautiful buildings and stuff up there. So that is a nice walk.
Yeah.
Sounds made for me. I usually stay away from the fairways and greens anyways.
So do I. So
golf humor.
That's why I know how good the walk is.
All right. So while we're doing this Scotland stuff too, I had to bring an artifact for you, Johnny. I've got a whole list of these things. But so this guy right here, this is my guy. He's a legend.
Yeah. He's a legend.
And Carter and Allie, if you guys don't know who this guy is, the holy. Yeah. So he YouTube. Was literally my favorite soccer player of all time. When I really started to discover, like, this is the team I'm going to cheer for, Celtic and everything. It was Artur Boric, and I learned the history of him, the holy goalie and all that stuff. Did you ever spend any time around him? Did you ever play against him or anything like that?
I played against him. Yeah. Just never spent any time with him. I knew a lot of the players that played with him, so I always get them to tell me stories from time to time. But he's an absolute legend to Celtic fans. You know, you won't find many that don't like him. So great goalkeeper as well. But some of these antics as well is put him right up there with Celtic fans. So now I think I was talking maybe coming back a year or two ago, but then Fraser Foster came back, so that's worked out pretty well. But
yeah,
you know, I think he'll always be loved by Celtic fans.
You got any good stories you can tell me about? Because every goalkeeper is a little nuts, and he seemed like he was even a little more nuts than the average goalkeeper.
He's had a lot of fights in, you know, the locker room, you know, after games, half time in games, just arguing with people.
On his own team.
On his own team. Just if, you know, things weren't going right or going his way, just one of those fiery characters. I'm sure someone told me as well. He used to sing his own song about the place. used to sing that all the time. So now he's. Like I said, he's a massive character.
So one of the things we're doing, Johnny, before we let you go, Carter came up with this idea for us to kind of pass the time a little bit, is goals to Google. We're giving people, like, some of our favorite goals we've ever seen, something that sticks out from our memory, so people can go look him up on Google and enjoy some good soccer while we're missing the sport right now. So for you, can you give us maybe one of your favorite goals of all time? Could be one you scored, could be one somebody that you like scored, or just one that you remember.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, we got an important hairdo.
Gotta fix the hair.
Yeah.
I don't need to fix the hair.
Hello, Miss Blake.
No, I want to cut your hair.
You're not cut.
Oh, let her cut your hair, Johnny. Let us watch.
Let me
brush your hair.
I'm not faulty. You're not doing that.
I want to brush your hair.
You can brush it. No problem.
All right, we'll let you get to the hairstyling. So can you give us one goal to Google before we let you go, Johnny?
Yeah. My favorite goal all time is, you'll probably have seen it, Henrik Larsson's chip against Rangers. When he takes it from the halfway line. Runs through. Meg's one of the players, the keeper comes out to confront him and he chips him. That's my favourite goal that I've ever seen, still to this day. Don't think it'll ever be beaten for me, especially the game it was in, being against Rangers as well. That's definitely my favourite. The reason I decided this is what I want to do was seeing him. You know, I'm watching you sliding about the floor in a basket. I always had an idea. This is what I want to do. But after seeing him, and that was when I decided, this is it. So he's still to this day my idol, my favourite player. So that goal is definitely favourite for me.
That's why I brought this out, because I know you've told me in the past that he's your favorite player of all time. So
yeah, got the chance to actually. A couple of years back, I think it was a year I signed here. So I signed here in the February, and I was going to a charity game in the May or the June at Celtic Park, and I would have had the chance to meet him, and I haven't had the chance yet, but hopefully. In the next couple of years in the near future, I can rectify that, get to meet him.
Well, that'll happen someday. We'll have everybody look. I know that goal really well, but those that haven't seen it, it is a work of art. Henrik Larsson against Rangers, the chip. Look it up. Johnny's been our guest. I want to remind everybody that coming up on Saturday, we're going to do our next enhanced broadcast of a Sporting KC game. It was the 7-1 victory against Montreal. Johnny had a brace. It's going to be Johnny, Gianluca Busio, and Elie joining us on the call. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Make sure you watch on Saturday. Johnny, thank you so much for the time. We'll let her cut your hair, man. You know, I don't want to see you with a...
I've went the other way. The rest of the guys are shaving it off. I'm just going the other way and just gave up. Yeah, beard like hair. I'm just growing it out.
You're going to look like William Wallace when you're done.
I know. Grow it until we're back playing. That's where I'm at.
We're going to see some interesting looks when soccer finally does start up again, I have a feeling. Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. See you, Johnny.
All right. Bye, Johnny.
Thanks, guys. Good seeing you.
All right. That's Johnny Russell. Haircut. We'll be back with more of the Sporting Kansas City Show, wrapping things up right after this. All right, we're back to wrap things up on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Napier Katie, Carter Augustine, Ali Trost, thanks to Johnny Russell for joining us on the show. And now I want to play a little clip from an interview I conducted with Nikki Romulo. She's the Vice President of Hospitality for Sporting Kansas City, and she is heading up our community kitchen program as Sporting Kansas City is teaming up with Operation Barbecue and basically providing 1,000 meals per day, Monday through Friday in Kansas City, hot meals for families that need it during this time. So here's a little bit of that interview with Nikki to get you all the details. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe just exactly what the Sporting Community Kitchen is?
Yeah, absolutely. Kicked off today. We teamed up with Operation Barbecue Relief, which is a national organization, but it's based right here in Kansas City that raises money to feed communities in times of crisis. In particular, they will be providing 1,000 hot meals a day to us that we will then operationally package out and get out to the community.
Okay, so 1,000 free meals every weekend to citizens across the greater Kansas City area. And I understand people from Sporting Kansas City, I know it because I got the email being encouraged to volunteer and help package and distribute this food.
Yep. So just to clarify, it's Monday through Friday until the end of April. But yes, we put out a call for volunteers, first starting with our organization, and got a huge feedback, which is great because I just found out today it's National Volunteer Month. So the Sporting Kansas City crew stepped up, and we had about 15 people at the stadium today helping us package and distribute.
So now for people that need the food, can they just show up? Do they need to register ahead of time? How do they make sure that if they show up, they've got a hot meal ready for them?
Sure, great question. Every day at 8 a.m., we have a link that goes live from our website. It's sportingkc.com/communitykitchen, where they can register. We're actually doing the meals in groups of four. So the idea is we're going to feed 250 families. And so every day we'll have 250 slots open. You register, and then you'll get a kickback email confirming that we got your registration and instructions on pickup at the stadium.
Okay, so once again, everybody, that website is sportingkc.com/communitykitchen. If you can't remember all that, go to the Sporting KC website, sportingkc.com. You're going to see one of the top stories up there is a big icon that says Community Kitchen. Click on there and get yourself signed up. I know this is the very first day that this is going, Nikki, but my assumption is these things are going to fill up every single day fairly quickly. Is that what you're expecting?
Yes, that is a fair assumption. And as we bring in more community partners, we're looking to grow that number as well.
So what do you mean by other partners? What are we looking to do to expand this right now?
Well, right now, from day one, like I said, we had Operation Barbecue, who kicked off this whole thing. They were able to team up with Plowboys. Sysco Food Distributors distributed packaging for it. Price Chopper was able to donate bags. And so we're exploring other partners in which we can bring together to help it grow.
Do you need any volunteers or people to donate food or anything like that? Or is it just more about getting the message out to the people who need the food right now?
We are always in need of volunteers. To volunteer, you can email communitykitchen@sportingkc.com and we'll give you some volunteer information.
Well, hey, we really appreciate what you're doing, Nikki, and everybody there at the Sporting KC Community Kitchen. Again, if you want to get any details, sportingkc.com/communitykitchen. And once again, what's the email address that people can go to if they want to volunteer to help out?
communitykitchen@sportingkc.com.
1,000 meals a day, and hopefully we can grow that number if more and more people need it. As, hey, look, we're all trying to do what we can to help everybody get through this. That's why we are KC. Nikki, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. All right, that is Nikki Romolo from Sporting Kansas City. We'll have more of these We Are KC profiles as we continue through this COVID-19 crisis. There's Nikki Romolo. You can get all the details again at sportingkc.com/communitykitchen. Guys, it's really cool to see Sporting Kansas City being a part of this, and people that want to volunteer can do so as well, because this is the time. You know, no other club, no other city. Kansas City, I think, is one of those communities. We rally together. We try to help each other as much as we can. And I'm proud to say that Sporting Kansas City is a part of it right now. We got to get the word out there. So spread the word to as many people as possible about how to register and how to volunteer if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. If you know someone in need, make sure that you send them the link, because as Nate mentioned earlier, there are a lot of food pantries, a lot of organizations that are providing meals for families that are struggling to give out and meet all of the need, even giving out 1,000+ meals. So
finally, guys, how about our goals to Google for today? I got one for you guys that I'm excited about. This goes back to 2008, the first Euro that I ever watched in my life. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that, but it's the truth. And it was an epic match in the quarterfinals between Turkey and between Turkey and Croatia. 0-0 into stoppage time. Croatia scores a goal in like the 119th minute. Turkey comes back in the 120th minute and scores a top corner banger from their number 9. And I'm not going to sit here and try to pronounce his name, but it was one of the most incredible finishes to us. And then it went to penalties. Turkey won and went to the semifinals of the Euros. So just Google Turkey Euro 2008. You will find that goal and just watch. But you want to watch the whole highlights to see the way that match unfolded. The last 90 seconds were just absolutely incredible. So that's my goal to Google. What do you got for us, Carter?
Last week, Kyrie gave us a Puskas Goal Award finalist, and that reminded me of my favorite goal of all time. the Neymar Puskas goal of the year in 2011, where he was still playing in Brazil for Santos against Flamengo. It is unbelievable. It is an unbelievable goal. A lot of individual skill. He pulls off a dribble move at the end that I don't think I've ever seen. So that's mine.
Send me a link to that. Right. And what about you, Allie?
I got to give it to my girls, Mia Hamm, when she netted her 108th career international goal. It was a game against Brazil at the Citrus Bowl, U.S. Women's National Team, 1999 in May something. I'll send the date so you guys can look up the goal. But gets this beautiful ball. Cindy Parlow with her back to the net, lays it off to Mia Hamm, and just Mia, as she always did, dominating in the box. She's got a player closing it on her, and nutmegs the goalkeeper. Absolutely fantastic. So that was Mia Hamm breaking a record, which was then broken by Abby Wambach later on in the decade. So just fantastic stuff all around. But Mia Hamm, gotta go with my girl Mia.
Gotta get her in, yeah.
Love it. That's great stuff. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. For Johnny Russell, Nikki Romolo, Carter Augustine, Allie Trost, this is Nate Bucati saying thanks for watching another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll see you next week.